Not gonna lie, so when I was younger, I would say, like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you don't want to be like these
friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
For him, I know that, right? Saga, who was on,
rap on the same
top
beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So, like, you're not.
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same
show. And I tweeted, like, last week that someday I'm going to have a song with him. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mr. Rel, and this is the Mr. Rel Show. This is Season 2, Episode 9, I think. And today I got a special guest. It's DJ Jimmy Rock. What's up, fam?
What's up, bro?
How you doing, bro? I'm glad to have you on. I think you're the first. No, you're not. Technically, you are the second DJ on the show to Mykel.
Okay.
But I think I got a different line of questioning for you.
Yeah, man.
First one's real easy. So, how exactly did you get into music, just in general? I love asking artists just how they, usually you're not born like saying, I want to do music related stuff. So, like, what helped you find music?
Well, I mean, my parents' answer to that would be, before I would even walk, my mom and dad used to have a record player, like an old school record player at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would crawl over to the record player, pull the vinyl out, put it on the turntable, put the needle on the song without a skipping, and then proceed to go in the kitchen, pull out the pots and pans and get some spoons, and I would just drum along to that. So,
gotcha.
You know, grew up doing that. They ended up buying me a drum set. I grew up playing drums in church and everything. Eventually got into band at school, playing trombone, joined choir, picked up playing guitar, keyboards, violin. It just kept going. And, yeah, man, it's just been a part of my life for as long as I can remember.
Very cool. So you kind of segued into, you said you started in church. Were you born into the church, or is it something you found later? Were your parents already going?
Yeah, so I come from a family of, like, church planters. Like, my great-grandpa planted a church here in the city I'm in. My cousin planted a church in Columbus, Ohio, mm-hmm. which is now considered to be one of the fastest growing churches in the United States for the past like 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
So our faith in Jesus, going to church together, praying together, that's been a staple of my extended family for generations.
Very cool. So what took you from learning all these different instruments to saying, I want to go the DJing route? Because I guess that's the question I had when I was thinking of what I was going to ask you. I'm like, how do you go from, how do you end up a DJ, I guess? Is it something you're like, this is what I want to do? Or is it it ends up finding you, if that makes sense?
I think it was a mix of both. So I was 11 years ago, I started at my career as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I had no experience prior to as a DJ, but I did have experience as a host, being a promoter, putting out events. I was in all kinds of music growing up. I was a drummer in a punk rock band. I was a hype man and a music producer for a Christian hip hop group, mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. And so, you know, reality kind of set in. It's like, well, look, Jimmy, you have to have a job. I mean,
right.
That's pretty apparent. And I'm like, if I'm going to have a job, I would much rather do something that involves music rather than working at a factory or just doing something, you know, like that. And so there was a resort up here that they were looking to hire more DJs. And I talked to the owner of the company, and he's like, look, he goes, do you have any experience? I'm like, well, I don't have experience as a DJ, but I'm teachable. I can learn. And I kind of showed him some of the things I could do. So he took me under his wing. He mentored me for a couple of years. And that's how the whole thing got started.
Very cool. So I would consider, and I think you would too, I'd consider you a successful DJ. I don't think you're like starving for, I mean, you even mentioned, I think today you said you almost have too much going on. And I know you got a show right after this. So how do you go from, I have no experience doing this, to now, I guess 10, 11 years later, you're very successful at it?
Yo, 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 it's your boy YJO with Enoch Flow Records, letting you know if you need beats, engineering, graphic design, website creation, Enoch Flow is the way to go. I'ma tell you why. Beats and engineering. All beats are produced by yours truly, exclusively, with no leases. And I'll even throw engineering in there for you. Graphic design and website creation. Bring your next single, EP, or album artwork to life with DC Graphics, led by Damian Clinton, best graphic designer in the business. That's no cap. Get all these services and more only at Enoch Flow Records. Peace.
I know a lot of people will say, you know, work hard, practice your craft. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that is true. However, I'm also very big on marketing and branding. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, before they will ever hear your music, they will see your online presence. They will see your photos. They will see your logo. And if that is a representation, good or bad, that's how they're automatically going to perceive you before they even hear it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, jumping right into it, I know I'm not the best DJ out there. Uh-huh. However, I will say I'm extremely confident in how my online persona could be, as far as like with the marketing and the branding. It looks appealing. Rather than, I know DJs out there that can run miles on me on turntables, right, and on the decks, but they have like no social presence. They wear like old raggedy clothes. You know what I mean? Like little things like that, I think, do play a role in this. And, you know, mind you too, like I said, I think a lot of hard work goes into play, networking, things of that nature.
Gotcha. But, yeah. So I know that as a DJ, you do all types of venues, mm-hmm, events, all types of things. So what would you say is like the most common type of venue, and also like your like most favorite type of event to do? And then ones that you're not so fond of that you end up finding yourself doing?
Yeah, so the most common would definitely be nightclubs. I get booked at clubs literally all over the place. Tonight I'm playing in Cleveland, tomorrow I'm in Columbus. In the past, I've been in Vegas, I've been in New York City, I've been in Orlando, Toronto, Chicago. A lot of them are nightclubs. Sometimes there's been stadiums, sometimes there's been arenas. Sometimes there's been a backyard of somebody's, mm-hmm, house.
Right.
My favorite event, now, while those are fun, they pay the bills.
Right.
I wouldn't say they're my favorite. My favorite type of event is more of like, Jimmy, you're not doing a 4-hour set. You got 30 minutes.
Right.
You got 45 minutes. So at that point, the approach is like, this is a concert. Like, mm-hmm, I don't have to warm up the crowd. I don't have to slowly work it in. I just come out of the gate swinging.
Go.
Super hard. Matter of fact, tonight would be nice because they have an opening DJ going on before me. So my set doesn't start tonight until midnight. So,
oh wow,
got a 2-hour set, just kind of come out the gate swinging. You know, it's their job to kind of warm up the crowd, get them to sing along. It's my job to put on the show.
Gotcha. So, would you consider yourself, the way to word this, a Christian DJ, or like part of Christian hip hop? Are you just a DJ that is kind of around the Christian hip hop genre? Like, how do you, is there a way that you kind of brand yourself that way? Or is it just more, you're a Christian and you're a DJ?
I would say, honestly, like, I'm a Christian everything. I'm a Christian dad. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian driver. Most days until traffic kicks in sometimes. Probably not so much. So, you know, obviously my relationship with God, that's my first title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't brand myself as a Christian DJ because I want to make my music as accessible to everybody as possible.
Right.
I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the new EP yet, but even with the Christian hip hop thing, I'm like, well, there's nothing hip hop on this new release, so I can't really fall into that category either.
Right, exactly.
All I know is I feel, labels or no labels, I'm just trying to do what God has called me to do and trying to reach and touch as many people as possible on the way.
Gotcha. And I think that's kind of smart because it's not like kind of boxing you in. I feel like if you said I'm a Christian DJ, there's a lot of people that wouldn't book you. Is there any type of event that you are like opposed to doing? Like, is there something you've declined? Or are you open to all types? Okay, gotcha.
Ain't doing it. Sorry.
Do you make that like known on your site, or is it just like if they approach you, you're just like, listen, I can't, this isn't? my thing.
So luckily I have built a team. So if anyone approaches me about a booking, I automatically refer them to Five Stars Entertainment. They handle all the bookings and everything.
Gotcha.
And they'll get all the information. They'll usually follow up with me in the back end, like, hey, here are the details. This is the budget. This is this, that, et cetera. But my team, I mean, they pretty much know what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do. So that's not usually a problem.
So you put out your Summer Vibes EP. So yes. I had already heard the Rage remix because Thomas is one of my friends. And I was curious, how do you go about like making a remix of someone's song? So like Thomas's Rage song was out and then I saw that y'all were working together. Is it like you approach him and say, yo, I want to partner and like do a remix of this? Or is it something you kind of do it and let him hear it? How does that work?
It could go either way. With remixes, sometimes I have an artist approach me, they hire me, I produce it, I release them, you know, the pre-mastered version, they get it mastered and they put it out in their own. That's one way. The second way is I do what's called a bootleg remix, where I just grab vocal stems off of the internet, make my own version of it. Now that one you're not going to find on Spotify or anything right. like that. Sometimes YouTube or SoundCloud, they're cool with you uploading it, but it's more or less for me to use in a live performance. Yeah,
exactly.
So I have my version of that song. Maybe I really love the song. For example, I'm a big fan of Skillet's. Mm-hmm. However, in an EDM nightclub setting, Skillet's music's kind of like, okay, like we just went from Drake to like hard rock. Like, how's that gonna make it? So, you know, I'll reproduce it so it seamlessly flows together. That's the second type. The third type with like Thomas, I approached him about, you know, us doing something together. I was trying to build my catalog because not only do I want to put out my original music, I want to be the go-to guy on our side of the industry for people to get remixes done.
Remixes.
And typically what I try to do is I try to reimagine the song as if like this was going to be an original song of mine.
Okay.
That's usually my approach with it. And so we actually had the remix. It was originally going to be a bonus track on his album.
Oh.
And we just, because I had it finished back in maybe like November or something like that. And we ended up not putting it out. We just kind of talked back and forth some ideas. And then it just seemed to kind of make sense to put it out as a single and then to also include it on the Summer Vibes EP.
Gotcha. So how long had you been planning the EP? And what was like your vision for it, I guess?
So that was actually thrown together super last minute. There
really?
I really wish I could tell you, like, we had this big, like, grand idea. No. A couple months ago, maybe 2 months ago, I got in touch with a production company in North Carolina.
That's where I live.
They've done production for, like, Ed Sheeran and, like, a bunch of other, like, big artists. Like, it's, like, their tour production company.
Mm.
And so... I got the opportunity to fly there and do a 45-minute set of me playing all of my original music on like this multi-million-dollar setup, right?
Right.
And I thought, well, I don't want to play on a stage that big and have all this content, all these pictures and video, and not have something new to plug in.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the light. I already had that song, like a good demo of that song put together. Drip, which was the first song that was meant to be on World of Drops, I just never finished the song. So I kind of sat down with Good City and like my team, and I was kind of like, you know what, like I want to play at least two new songs in the set,
right?
And so within the course of like 3 weeks, we pretty much got the whole idea of the EP, put the whole thing together, the branding, the packaging, mixed, mastered, recorded, uploaded, and then the show
out.
And then here we are. Like,
that's one cool thing about how music is now. Like, you can do things very last minute. And I appreciate the transparency of you saying, because I expected you to say like, oh, this has been in the works for like a year, but it's always cool to hear like, oh no, I thought of this like 3 weeks ago.
No, we was actually low key stressing because it didn't come out till July 20. And I was like, why are we having an EP called Summer Vibes and we're releasing it almost in August? Like, I wish we could have had it out in like, you know, June, but with DSPs, you know, you upload it, you got to usually upload, submit like 4 weeks in advance. There was an extra 4 weeks and everything. But I just kind of had these songs and kind of listening to the four of them, I'm like, this gives me a summer vibes feel. Like Drip is a very like summer festival track. Mm-hmm. You got songs like, you know, See the Light and Vibes. That's very like pool party kind of right. kind of thing going on. So that was the idea behind it.
Got you. So I was going to, you actually mentioned it a second ago. Explain to me and everyone, what exactly is Good City music?
So Good City, there are artists, there's producers, there's writers. Good City does a lot on the sync music world, like mm-hmm. with sync licensing.
Right.
So when you have like TV commercials, movies, things of that nature, we will create music specifically for that need. Right. For example, my song Vibes, I got an email one day, and I don't know how much I can share, but
right.
They were looking for a song for a clothing company for a commercial, and they right. said they wanted something very vibey, kind of Dua Lipa kind of sound to it, and I was just like, oh, okay. And usually with that, you have a pretty quick turnaround.
Right.
Like they'll say like, you've got 3 days or you got 10 days, and that's right. writing, recording, mixing, mastering, like it's the works, right? Yeah. So I got to work on it, was working on the track, had a singer sing on it. It just kind of didn't exactly fully work out. However, I really liked where the song was going.
Right.
And so I got some of my friends in Nashville, had them like kind of redrop vocals, kind of remixed it a little bit, and then we decided to put it out on the CP.
What's going on, everybody? It's B Plus. Welcome to another recap countdown. I have a very special one. You can see I have a guest here, Spoken Worth. Go ahead and say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody? My name is Spoken Worth, and I'm a spoken word artist. I'm super excited to be here on today's show, and I'm super excited to talk about my most recent album, Crucible Chronicles.
Yeah. So as you guys know, if you're following my channel, you know what I do with these recap countdowns. It's a lot of Christian hip hop. It's a lot of Christian rap. Stepping outside of that because I saw his promo for his single, I believe it was The Fall, and I was just like, I just have to promo this album. And I feel like God challenged me to do something a little bit different. So here we go. We're going to hop into this recap countdown. But before I go ahead and do that, if this is your first time, really quickly, here's what I do. I take a look at my 5 favorite bars, my 4 favorite beats, my 3 favorite tracks, my 2 favorite features, and 1 final recap. I love it. Let's go ahead and get started.
5 bars.
Unity isn't uniformity, and transformation isn't conformity. Discipline has become an anomaly. Normally, honor is respected, but there's an overwhelming trend of disrespect that has intercepted our culture. Let's dive into the depths of love. Let's rewrite history and do what's never been done. Let's welcome each other's pain and trauma. Let's lavish our scarred souls with words of comfort. I am secure, protected, and welcome. God wouldn't trade us for a second. I am a man who speaks life into others only because life was given without question. I am courageously compassionate, infectiously energetic. I'm not who they expected. I'm not a part of me. My self-worth was molded by my shadow. All of my gold was sold for some plastic. I went from precious to pitiful, from memorable to miserable. Guilt continued to grow until sin became my comfort zone. I was reach out for more, I implore you. You won't sink in sin when you're drinking water that's been walked on by the one who created it. And flesh will become tasteless when blood becomes sacred. I've been forgiven and I've been liberated. I've been rebooted and I've been redesignated.
Hey. Yeah, so first of all, before we begin to the bars, I just really enjoyed it, man. I remember my first listen to it was on my commute on my way into work. And I was just like, man, this is a really, really good project.
So I feel like that's one thing that Christian hip hop has been trying to get more educated on is sync licensing. Because like there was an example, I got a guy I met in Atlanta recently who was like, it's cool because I can have a song that's out and only has like maybe 2,000 streams or something, but it gets a placement on this movie or show or something. And now I'm eating off that song instead of having to worry about it needs to get like 2 million streams for me to make any money off of it.
Yep.
So very dope. So do you think, I saw your first day numbers. You think the EP is going well, that it's successful, that people are listening to it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always grateful for every single string. Now, I know that's easy to say. In reality, it's like you got two streams on a song. You're kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know how I feel about this. However, I know in this day and age, streaming is different. I mean, would I love to have millions of streams? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I know too, again, I'm a full-time performing DJ. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 months, I've had one day off. I've literally been gigging every day. Sometimes I've been gigging twice a day. Mm. I have one tonight, two tomorrow, two Friday, three on Saturday, one on Sunday.
That's crazy. Exactly.
So with songs like this, it doesn't stress me so much about the numbers, because right. what I'm able to do, if I have video and I have content of me doing a set, I can use one of my songs behind the video, because then mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about getting flagged or something taken down off of social media using somebody else's music without their permission. I have my own content to do that.
Gotcha. So I think the last couple of questions. Would you say you have a specific goal aside from living off of it and eating off it for your music? Like, do you make music because you love it? You think it's your God-given talent? Are you trying to impact people in any way? You just do it because it's fun, you know?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Obviously, I love what I do. I love being creative. Given my career choice, I love making people dance. I don't think people are going to expect too many like slow songs coming out of my camp anytime soon.
Right, right.
If it makes people dance, whether that's pop, funk, hip hop, EDM, R&B, whatever the genre might be, I know I'm going to be mixing up the genres often. I tell people, I'm like, I like music, like I like food. I like all food.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so some days I might feel like making a pizza. Some days I might want to learn how to, you know, make some street tacos. And some days I might want to learn how to make sushi. And so my approach with music is very much the same. It's like, you know, a couple of years ago, I had found out I was supposed to go to Africa to Nigeria to do like a little like 2 week tour. Mm-hmm. So I really started diving in like Afrobeat music and really just kind of fell in love with some of the music I heard over there. I was like, wow, this sounds amazing. And that's kind of what, you know, I took a little bit of that and I started building the foundation for See the Light. If mm-hmm. you listen to See the Light, it's kind of got an Afrobeat, sort of like a Latin type of sound in the music portion. Right. And, you know, that's where it's at. Now, naturally, I work with Christian artists. I work with non-Christian artists. For anyone I work with, I just ask them to like remain positive, you know, keep the content clean. You right. know what I mean? And when I mean clean, I don't mean just cussing, because
yeah.
if we were saying songs without cuss words, what genuine song Pony yeah. doesn't have cussing in it, but we all know that's not a clean song.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that is definitely my approach with music. Obviously, I want to have songs out there that are going to talk about faith in Jesus and impact people in a real way. Mm-hmm. But I'm also okay too with songs like Drip. Mm-hmm. It is just about getting sweaty right. while dancing.
You yeah. know what I mean? I feel you. I definitely rock with that. So last question, being a full-time traveling DJ, how did the pandemic affect you? And I guess technically it's not fully over, but it's definitely outside starting to open more. But how did it affect you over the year when most of your income is from traveling, doing live events and shows with people?
So I noticed with me, like I had dabbled in like production. So prior to World of Drops, most of the music I was releasing, I was more or less sitting in as an executive producer. Mm-hmm. Like someone else was behind the keyboard, they were doing the work, and I was just audibly saying like, well, try something like this, try something like that, rather than me actually
yeah.
going in and putting in the work. But I knew that's not what I wanted to do. I feel like some other DJs or producers, they have that approach and that's okay for them, but that's not the approach I wanted to have. And so my excuse was always, I don't have time to do it. I do it too much. Lord, if you give me the time, I promise I'll do this. Then all of a sudden I had all the time in the world. Yeah. And he's like, what's your excuse now? I'm like, well, I ain't got no excuses. Exactly. So it was during that time I got to sit down. I started working on World of Drops and really just kind of like gained my confidence as a music producer mm-hmm. and just kind of built it from there. So at one hand, like, yeah, the show stopped and the income stopped. Also, yeah. obviously, I'm going to keep it real, too. but I was able to learn a different side of me. And now this year, you know, I'm trying to learn that balance because, like I said, I'm performing nonstop, but right. I also can't ignore, like, hey, I still need to work on this. I still need to work on that.
Thanks. Very dope. Thank you for joining me, man. Yeah, you definitely answered a lot of questions that I had because it's not – DJ is one of the – I don't think there's a lot of them, at least not in our space. Tell the people where they can find your new project, any of your music, how they can book you, anything like that.
Yeah. So you can find all of my social media handles are at DJ Jimmy Rock. If you're going to Apple Music or Spotify, it's just Jimmy Rock.
I noticed that.
So DJ Jimmy Rock is just my handle name. It's not actually my business
artist name. Gotcha.
Yeah. And so, you can stream World of Drops everywhere. This Sunday, we are having I don't know when this is going to air, but Sunday, July 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we having a online virtual concert. It's like an online virtual release party. 45 minutes of me playing all of my original music. I pulled maybe like two songs from a couple of the artists that I'm friends with. That's it, man.
Very dope. So I always end every episode. Shout out to Daryl from Bookkeeper for giving me this show. We're like two seasons strong. I think this is about to be the end of it. I think there's like one more episode in season two. And it's been over a year now. So appreciate you, Daryl. Thank you, Jimmy, for joining me. And thank you all for watching. I'll see y'all next time.
Not gonna lie. So when I was younger, I would say like, you know how we all go through this identity crisis type thing when we're younger?
That's good.
Yeah, kind of. Like you don't want to be like
friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So
do wonders like AI anomalies.
I know that, right? Saga, who was
rap on the same beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So like you're not.
I actually knew a guy in Miami that he was going to the same.
And I tweeted like last week that someday I'm gonna have a song with him. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but it's gonna happen.